to everyone. I hope you all had a good rest this week. We'll continue from our Sunday Bible Hour from last week, testing mindset. Okay, for those who have finished the thing, you can pass it up to me later. Okay, this is the verse that we are going through. Okay, we have a word of prayer first, then after we'll go ahead and get started. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We know it is truly a privilege, Lord, to be in your presence. It is a blessing because you have given us your word. And for us who have trusted Christ, Lord, it is something that is so wonderful and so thankful, Lord, for the gracious salvation that is in Christ. We pray today as we open your word, teach us that we might truly have a testing mindset, Lord. And Lord, that we will not resist the Spirit of God as he speaks to us through the word. That our hearts will not be hardened towards your word. And Father, we pray that you would speak to us, that our lives will be aligned to your precious word. And if not, help us to be convicted about it. Pray that thy Holy Spirit will convict us and will repent and turn towards, Lord, a life that is committed to you. Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is the verse. Okay, let's read it. All right, let's read the verse one time. Then at least this will be for your memory verse. Ready? One, two, go. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The psalmist says, I esteem, I consider, I have made a decision that this, Lord, your word, is concerning all things, concerning everything, whether it's life, whether it's spiritual life, whether it's church life, whether it's education life, whether it's family life, that everything that God says is right. And I hate every false way. Anything that is not in line with God's word is false. Okay? It could be a worldly philosophy, it could be a personal philosophy. Anything that is outside of God's word is false. Okay? Now that sounds to be very narrow, but God made life and he knows what life is all about. And so when he tells us what is right and wrong, we need to follow him. And every other way is false. Okay? So last week we went through a few things. We talked about what is a testing mindset. It's when a believer has learned that he must test everything by the Bible to see if it is right or wrong, true or false. If our life is not aligned to the Bible, we are living a false life, okay, a pretentious life before God. Because God sees all things, and he has given us his word, all of us who can read, we know God's word. And if we know God's word, our life needs to be tested by God's word. And if anything that is not right, then we need to change. Just like you take an exam, okay, there's an answer for every question, and if you don't have the correct answer, then the teacher will mark you as wrong. And you have to correct yourself. You cannot argue with the teacher. I suppose they do have review process, and sometimes truly because the teacher is human, he may make some mistakes. But generally, the teachers are right, and they know the answers. Okay? And we have to have that attitude towards God. If we have the attitude towards man, if the teacher marked me wrong, then I will accept it. But if God marks us wrong, will we accept it? And this is an important truth. If we are true believers, we will accept what God tells us is right and wrong. Okay? So a testing mindset is when the believer has learned that he must test everything, okay, by the word of God, if it's right or wrong. All right? We've gone through a few verses, so we won't go through this. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Okay, Acts chapter 17, we'll move on from there. Acts 17, verse 11. The Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word, that means the Bible, with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The Bible says that these Christians at Thessalonica was more noble. In other words, they were more, the word noble has the idea of a Christian who sets a high standard. Okay, a noble is someone who may be very rich. But in this situation, the word noble means a Christian who is very serious-minded, and God actually commends them, praises them to be more noble. All right? Spiritually, they are on a higher plane. Now, we're all equal before God, but I think you will agree with me that there are some Christians who are very serious and some are not. Okay? And these are the serious Christians at Thessalonica. And the Bible says, when they heard Paul preach, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. I want to encourage us to be serious Christians. Okay? Like the Christians at Berea. they receive the word of God. The word receive means to welcome. In other words, when they come to church or they come and hear the word of God, they come with a very serious mind. They come with a very serious mind. And I got an idea of what a serious mind is in the church in Nepal. Everyone had a notebook. Everyone had pencils or pen. Everyone was copying notes. And as I was sharing my testimony about our church and asking them to pray for me, these are the four things you pray for. When I said that, everyone took out their notebooks and prepared to write the 4 points they have to pray for. I was very touched by that. I was very challenged by that. Everyone was so serious about the Word of God that they had notebooks and they were writing down everything that they learned, they heard. To sit through preaching from 10 o'clock to 7 o'clock, of course, they had breaks in between. They pray at 3 or 4 messages. Within 2 hours, there are 2 messages. And each message is 1 hour. And they all sit on the floor, cross their legs. And the men will move because we kind of bigger a bit, you know, especially there were some Americans there. They tried to sit on the floor. But finally, they had to sit on chair. It's too uncomfortable for them. But you know the believers? I think Sister Allison will know the ladies, the sisters, they'll cross their legs and sit through 2 hours of preaching. They don't move. They're just concentrating about the Word of God. They welcome the Word of God. They really love the Word of God. And every time I speak to them, it's about how they got saved and how the Lord has answered their prayer and how it was such a wonderful experience there. But here the children at Berea, they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. Are you ready to receive the Word of God or do we fall asleep? We can't. When we fall asleep in the Word of God, it means we're not interested in God's Word. Okay, I want to challenge us to stay awake, all right? Not that you are sleeping, but what I've learned is when you're really hearing the Word of God, you will stay awake, okay? So when they welcome the Word of God, and they not only they search the Scriptures daily, in other words, they were, the phrase can be used as a testing mindset. Yes, Paul preached, I know Paul's an apostle, and I welcome the Word of God, I love it, but they also study the Word to make sure that it's in line, okay? Now, of course, when Paul preached, it was in line with the Word of God. And so in verse 11, and search the Scriptures daily. They studied the Word of God daily. They didn't read the Word of God daily, they studied it daily, okay? They didn't use read, pray, grow, they didn't use devotional, they studied the Word of God. For the younger Christians, that may help them to grow. But if you're more than 5 years Christians or more than 2 years Christians, read, pray, grow is not for you anymore. You need to get into the Word. You need to study the Word. You can't use devotionals anymore. If you're still using devotionals as a Christian, okay, especially if you're more than 2 or 3 years Christians, that means we are still babes in Christ. Okay, I just put it there. Because we need to grow. We need to learn the Word of God. And so the children, the Christians, they search the Scriptures daily, whether these things are so. Okay, there was a daily study of the Word of God. All right? And so some of the, any questions? Let's be like the Christians at Berea who study God's Word so that they can test everything, all right, by the Word of God. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:21. The next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Okay, let's read that together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Okay, what prove means to test. Test all things. All things. Everything that you will ever go through in your life, test it. Whether it's relationship, whether it's your career, whether it's education, whether it's work, whether it's money, whether it's friendships or anything, whether it's music, etc. Okay? Now, this is a very important obligation that God gives to us. We should test everything in our lives by the Word of God. Not only Christian teaching about the church things. Some people say, oh, church is church. Church is church. But my relationship, my friendship, my career, has nothing to do with God. Oh, yeah, there is. There is. What we do and plan and the decisions we make, it has everything to do with God's Word. Okay? Okay, some of the things we are to test. Christian teaching, of course, we must make sure. You know, it seems that people are very strict about Christian teaching, that they go to a church and say, well, this church is no good. But when it comes to their own lives, they're not as strict. we need to test everything. Okay, the Bible says test all things. Christian teaching about the church, your job. Does your job bring glory to God? Does it help others? Okay, jobs are, God gave us work because man is meant to work. And the work and the money that we give is to do God's will. Okay, not for ourselves, do God's will. Our friends, what kind of friends do we have? Is it non-believing friends? And we love non-believing friends more than Christians, and we won't come. So we need to test our friendships by the word of God as well. Our fashion. Do we follow the fashions of this world, the trends of this world, the way the world dresses? You know, many churches right now have Christians who come to church with ripped jeans. You know, the jeans, that's a fashion of the world. They dye their hair. All these are fashions of the world. Okay, we need to be very, very careful. We need to test it by the word of God. Entertainment, what kind of entertainment do we look for? Okay, are they godly entertainment? Do they build us up? Marriage, okay? Are we unequally yoked together with non-believers? Even Christian, some people say, as long as he's or she is a Christian, it's fine. No, it's not. No, it's not. If your belief system is different, it's different. How can two walk together except they be agreed? It's sin. If as a believer in Christ, you choose that, you're not in line with God's will. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay, Amos 3 verse 3. Child training method. Some people say, I don't spank my children. Some people say, I spank. They go to the extreme, they spank a lot. But you know, God has a balance of that. You know, there are some believers who believe, no, I don't spank my children, I just talk to them. You're ignoring what God says. If you spare the rod, you will spoil your child. That's what the Bible says, okay? And in fact, if you don't spank your child, God says you don't love your child. So we need to decide that, God, you are right. Okay, some of us may be brought up without, people don't spank us. My parents don't spank me, so I also choose not to spank. But that's not right. Because God's word says that if you love your child, you will chastise him, you will deal with the child, okay? Your music, what kind of music do you listen to? Okay, and what kind of music do you listen to? Is it godly music? Is it music that will edify the soul? Or you listen to worldly music, sentimental music that stirs up your emotions and the lyrics don't honor God? So all this has to be tested by the word of God. And it comes to a point that not many people, not many believers care about that anymore. But if you are serious Christians, we have to. Because God said that we have to test all things, to prove all things. Okay? Any questions? Okay, the next one. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, let's read in verse 5. Ready? 1, 2, go. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The word cast down means to throw down imaginations. The word imaginations means our thought process. God wants the believer to bring every thought into captivity to the truth. How you think must be brought under the control of the word of God. Why? Because how we think, if we don't have the word of God to guide us, we will think in a selfish way, we will think based on our own hearts. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. So Paul teaches here that we have to throw down the imaginations, throw down our thought process, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What's a high thing? What's a high thing? You know what's a high thing? A high thing is an idol. It's an idol. What is one of the number one idols in Singapore? Money. We put money as number one. We put money as the most important. Now, don't get me wrong. Money is important. We have to pay the bills. We have to support our families. It is important. But if a person would work and miss God's house, then we have to be very careful in our priorities. Okay, there are some people who choose to work. I remember Rabbi Bao Chan, those who remember, he says that some people in China, they betray God for a few dollars. In other words, the members would come to him and say, "Pastor, if I don't work, I can earn extra money." And he's telling them, don't sell your God for a few dollars on Sundays. Don't sell your God for a few dollars for prayer meeting. Don't sell your God. And that's basically, sometimes many Christians are doing that. We need to be careful. We need to test that. I'm just using that as an illustration. There could be other things. There could be other things. Okay? How do we test? We need to fill our minds with God's word and letting it measure every thought that we have. Okay? Why do you think God wants us to cast down imaginations? And the Bible says, and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know your mind, what you think is the biggest battlefield for every Christian? Your mind is a battlefield. And I want to tell you something that I've seen many times in the ministry and also is very dangerous. When people say, "Leave me alone, I want to sort out my thoughts," that's when the devil gets in. Unless you're saying, "Pastor Johnny, just give me some time. I'm going to search the Bible. I'm going to spend time with God so that God can show me His will." That's a different thing. But many people who do not want people to interfere in their life will say, "Leave me alone. I don't need." And they never go to the Bible. They never go to the Word of God. That's when Satan captures your thoughts. And I want to encourage you. That's why you have a testing mindset, to be serious Christians, to honor God in your life. The Bible must always be an open book for you. You must always be about the Bible. Okay? So we do this by filling our minds with God's word and letting it measure every thought that enters our hearts. The human imagination is a great spiritual battleground, and you must guard it. Your mind must be guarded. Don't let television guard your mind. Why would I say that? Sometimes Singaporeans, you know what they do? They're free, they're on the television. And that, when the things start coming in, you start listening to, you see so-and-so say this, so-and-so say this. But what the Bible says? Okay? We have to be very careful there. The modern entertainment industry aims at your imagination. Do you know why there are many so-called romantic stories in a lot of, the storyline in many of these, the Filipinos, the Chinese, the Indian, it's all about love and romance and many times also immorality. Why? Adultery, this person slept with the other person, and etc. Because you know why? The devil wants to fill your minds with this filth. So that's why Christians are also getting into the kind of problems. Okay, Satan leads this, and we have to be very careful because he corrupts the imagination. That's why for believers, when you like to read science fiction, or I know some Christians who enjoys horror movies, even though they get a fright out of it, you know, like, and then they want to watch. See, I mean, if you're frightened, why watch it? Don't watch. You know, if you watch horror, Christians are never to watch horror movies. You know why? Because God says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. What do horror movies do? Make you scared. And why is it that as Christians, we still watch a horror movie and next us afraid? And God says, "Look, I didn't give you a spirit of fear." But you know what? When we accept that and we watch that and we enjoy that, basically we are throwing out what God taught us. In other words, our mind is not controlled by the word of God. Our mind is controlled by our lust for horror movies. Okay, even science fiction. Okay, we have to be very careful because it teaches us things. I know of one pastor who believed there's such a thing as UFO. He actually believed that there is UFOs. There is no UFOs. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Everything is God's. But the UFOs are a creation of man. Okay? But you know, more importantly, it could be satanic. Many of this is satanic. That there are voices from outer space trying to contact Earth. But is that true in the Bible? You know, if we can even entertain that thought, we don't have a testing mindset. The Bible is very clear. All things are created by God. And God said life is only on one planet, Earth. Okay? So we have to be very careful about all things. All right? This is very, very dangerous for believers. Okay? Any questions? Okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Ready? 1, 2, go. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. Now what does this mean? Paul was concerned that the church at Corinth, just as Satan, the word beguile means to deceive, bluff. Okay? When the serpent came to Eve, he asked the question, yea, hath God said, is that what God said? That you cannot eat of every fruit? Was that what God said? Yes. 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 Many people challenge the word of God. Satan begins the first thing that leads to your deception and my deception is when we take the word of God and question it. Yea, hath God said that you should not eat of every fruit or tree? The answer is yes. God said, of every tree thou shalt eat, but of this one tree that you cannot eat. Okay? Well, let me just clarify that. Sorry. The devil actually told Eve, did God say you cannot eat of everything? Actually, no, sorry, God didn't say that. But what Satan was doing was throwing a doubt. Satan was throwing a doubt on Eve's mind. The first thing that Satan always does is to cause you to question the word of God. All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Okay, in verse 1, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Yea, hath God said? In verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Yes, we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, nor shall we touch it, lest he die. Okay? And so what Satan does is he throws a curveball, he throws a deception, he throws a question. You know what? You know what many of the cults do? They firstly question you. If you're not strong, you will fall for the question. Okay? So the believers at Corinth were not careful about the teaching of God, were not careful of the teaching of Christ. You know, when you listen to messages on the internet, when you listen to all these, the people that preach, and you don't know their background, you can be actually deceived by what they say. So you need to be careful. What the devil does is he complicates doctrine. Okay, the Bible says in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the devil beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What's the simplicity in Christ? We are sinners on our way to hell. We are so sinful and we have violated the righteousness of God. Okay, we are sinful before God. Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid 100% for us, suffered for us. He went to, he was buried, and then he rose again. Okay? And then, if he rose again, and if we were to repent from our sin and accept him as our Savior, trusting him to save us and to wash away our sins, then we are saved. That's the Christian faith. Okay? But moving forward, that's not the end, though. That's not the end. It's our discipleship in Christ as we grow in Christ. Okay? Salvation and discipleship are very closely linked. They are independent of each other, but it's closely linked. It's just like, if I'm a student, if I enroll in a school, what's my job? I'm to study, right? And to study hard. You cannot say, oh, I'm in the school, I'm very happy already. Is that what you're going to do? No. If you're enrolled in the school, and you're already a permanent student, your job is to study. It's closely linked. But you know, today there are Christians who say, I'm a Christian, and after I don't do anything else. I just come to church, give my offering, and then I go home and do, live my own life. No, that cannot be. There is a moving forward in discipleship, okay? Salvation is by itself, but a genuinely saved Christian will want to continue to love Christ and grow in Christ, okay? So, but what happens today is that the devil complicates doctrine, okay? The truth of God's word has depth. Okay? Paul here warns of three things in verse 4. There is another Jesus, there is another Spirit, and there is another gospel. There is another Jesus, there is another Spirit, and there is another gospel. Okay? Okay, let's just quickly go through. Tell me what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. What's he like? What's he like? Sorry? He's meek, okay? What else? He is holy. He's separate from sin. He's a giver. He loves unconditionally. Okay? So if a person, we know that Jesus is wholly separate from sin, but if another person believes that Jesus will forgive me my sin and even if I live with it, it's okay, is that the same Jesus of the Bible? No. Okay? In this world, there are churches who believe new creation is one, that when Jesus forgives your sin, he forgives everything. You don't even have to confess your sin anymore because Jesus has already forgiven it. Is that true? Okay? In a family, if the son or the daughter offend the father, should the son or daughter apologize to the father? Should the son or daughter apologize to the father? Yes. But some churches teach, we're all forgiven. You don't have to ask for forgiveness anymore. It's like, there's a difference between salvation and your fellowship. Okay? There's some churches who believe you don't have to say sorry anymore after that. And that's heresy. That's heresy. A Jesus that allows you to live the way you want is not the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? But the Lord is not going to force you, but the Lord is going to teach you that you were sinners. You were like that before, but you can't live the same way. If your life doesn't change completely, 180 degrees, at least in your mind and your heart, after you say you've trusted Christ, if not changed, you're not saved. I urge you to examine your salvation. All right? There is a complete change. Right? Another spirit. The spirit of Christ is a spirit of holiness. The attitude is one of humility, of meekness, of loving others, loving God more than man, loving the Bible, loving prayer. But if the spirit we have after becoming a Christian will not lead us to holiness, will not lead us, and our attitude is, well, God is going to forgive me, so it's okay, I don't have to do this. Is that the spirit of the Bible? It's another spirit. Okay? And then there's another gospel. It's all related. There are some churches who preach that, I was just sharing with this pastor from Canada, and he says that the whole area is, there's only one independent Baptist church, but the whole area is filled with this Mennonite congregation who believes in salvation by works. And they believe that Jesus is not someone who, they did say the Mennonites believe that Jesus died for your sins, but the life of Christ is just an example to follow. If you can follow the example of Christ, then you can make it for salvation. Okay? But they don't teach that Jesus Christ paid for your sin. And I was talking to this man, his brother Friesen. He was a Mennonite before. He went to the church. He said he went to the church. He didn't get anything. But for the first time in his life, when his sister attended the Independent Baptist Church there, and shared with him for the first time, he heard that Jesus Christ died for his sins. And he couldn't understand that until finally God broke through and he trusted Christ. Today he's serving God in missions, and he teaches church history, I think, or something in that church there. And his wife is saved, and they are trying to serve the Lord faithfully. Okay? So there's another gospel. There's a gospel by works, meaning that you must do and do and do and do in order to be saved. That's not salvation. Okay, for the younger believers, when they first start and wanting to commit to Christ, they may have this mindset, in order to prove my salvation, I've got to do this. If you have that thought about salvation, that's not salvation. Salvation is when you are confronted. Yesterday during youth, I think the Lord really helped us to understand a little bit more. Genuine salvation is when you come to a time in your life that you were confronted with your own sin and that we were unrighteous before God. In front of God, in our hearts, we know, I'm a sinner. I have broken God's law. I'm not righteous. And then, when you understood that, then you look at Christ and say, only Jesus can save me, and you put your faith in Christ. Does that make sense? When you have that, your life will change, because then you understand what Christ and sin is. And you know, as I was studying there, I realized one thing. When a person have not understood and they can still continue in sin, they have never met Christ. Because if you genuinely met Christ in your heart as you read the Bible, you will never want to sin again. I'm not saying you won't sin because you are still imperfect, right? We will still fall down. Even though you go to a very good school, it doesn't mean you won't make mistakes in your exams, right? But you will want to do your best because, you know, I'm so thankful for my salvation, and I may slip and fall and stumble, but Lord, thank you for loving me, and I will still press on. And if you stumble and fall, it's like, why do I do that? Lord, I'm sorry. And you confess your sin and just keep moving on. Does that make sense? Okay. So there's another, but there are some gospels who believe that, oh, you don't follow God all the way, you will lose your salvation. That is not the gospel of Christ. Okay? Ken? Any questions? Any questions? Okay. We see in verse 4 that the teaching of the apostles is a standard of truth. Okay? For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. That means the apostles' doctrine is a standard. You know, whatever I preach from the Bible is from here, and you can go back and study it. See, is Pastor Johnny saying right? And if it's right, then follow it. But if not right, then tell me, then I can change. But you know, this is the standard, not me. I'm not the standard. Man cannot be the standard. The Bible must be the standard. That's why we must test everything by the Word of God. Okay? The Bible is clever and must be resisted with much wisdom and zeal. We have to resist. This is an important statement. Broad-mindedness in doctrinal matters is an evidence of being in the flesh. If we can accept any kind of doctrine, it means that we are not living for God. We are very open. There are some Christians who say, I'm very open-minded. It is actually an evidence that you don't know the Word of God. Because if you truly know God, for example, if I go to Brother T and I ask him about communication system, and I know everything on lah. You know, I know everything about communication. And I talk to him, he look at me and say, Brother Johnny, that cannot work on. Why? Because Brother T have a lot of experience with communication systems, how it will work, how it won't work, and if you try this, it will never work. So am I very good at a communication system? No. Is he very hard when he says, hey, Johnny, Pastor Johnny, you're wrong, and this is, you cannot, because if you do this and this and this and this, it will lead to this, because you have to do this and this and this, because he has experience, right? There are certain way of doing communication system that makes sure the train don't crash. You know why many of our lives crash? Not ours, but know why some many Christians' lives crash? Because they accept anything. We need to be in the Bible. We need to know what God says. Okay? If you're not careful, your life will crash. If you're not careful about doctrine, your life will crash. As fathers, your families will crash. And in terms of the hope, I know that sounds a bit negative, but is it? How many of you read recently about the Terex, right? Is it a Terex? Is it a Terex? No, the Bionics. Okay, the SAF armor truck that crashed the Land Rover. And the poor National Service boy died. There was a mistake somewhere. Okay, you have that. You know what's a Bionics? It's as heavy as a tank, you know. Can you imagine, Brother T, if the Bionics crush your car? it's like you know those 100-plus can, you can just do this. It's like a tank crushing, and that poor private died. There was a mistake somewhere, right? There was a mistake somewhere. Someone must have broken some of the safety regulations for the tank to fall on the Land Rover and kill that guy. Poor guy. Apparently, he's a Christian. Thank God, if he's a Christian, he's safe. He's going to heaven. But I hope that brings up. I want to challenge us as a church. Don't take the Bible. Don't take Sunday Bible hour lightly. Some of you don't even do the test anymore. I know some of us have difficulties. That's okay. Ask. But if you're not even interested, then I'm very concerned that your life will crash if you don't have the doctrines of God, okay? Okay, so the devil is clever and must be resisted. Paul knew that this Corinthian church will bear with the false teachers, okay? This does not mean they would follow the false teaching, but they were just, never mind, it's just him, he believed in that. No, we have to resist that. We have to resist that, okay? Being able to, I understand what you're saying, being able to see both sides is not also an evidence of being very spiritual. We need to be able to stand for what is right. Once again, I'll use Brati as an example. If you say, well, I understand what you're saying, you know, the communication system can do this. Brati said, no, if you want to see that, can, but okay, you wait to crash, oh. You wait to get into problems. You know, why? Because in your heart, you know, if you really want to believe this, I cannot be very, oh yeah, you go ahead, lor. But you know, if anything happened, Brother T will have to answer for it. Right? If the communication system don't go through, Brother T works with communication between trains and all that kind of thing. If it's not communicated properly, people can die. I mean, this will be the extreme. Okay? I think recently in one country, in Japan, remember the railway actually went off. No, Taiwan. Right, Taiwan, there's a real railway that went off the track. I don't know what is the cause. People die. You know, in doctrine, it's even more important because eternal souls are at stake. We must test doctrine. That's what Paul is trying to get them to do. Okay? Any questions? False teachers can imitate true teachers. Okay? They don't invent new teachings, they just pervert the old ones. Okay, there are many churches and Bibles that teach and preach Jesus. Just because something is close, the closer something is to the truth, the more difficult it is to discern. That's why we need to study the Bible. That's why we need to, those who are mature in the faith, need to say when it's wrong, so that the younger believers can actually learn. When I was in Nepal, Brother Cloud, on the last day, he actually, some of you may know there was a split in the church. Okay? One of them that actually split the church was ordained as a missionary in the mission conference. And Brother Cloud, on the last day of mission conference, revoked and publicly said that they were thieves and liars. They were the missionary. Those people supposedly broke the church actually spread a lot of lies and rumors about Brother Cloud. And Brother Cloud said, "We are revoking the mission. Thieves and liars are disqualified from the ministry." And he publicly said that. Because you got to warn the rest of the believers. You know, in Singapore, if you do that, people will say you're unloving. But I saw one thing in the church in Nepal. They loved the Lord so much that it was a Nepalese, actually I didn't know, it was a Nepalese New Year. It was their New Year. And so what do you do in New Year? You always go back to your families, right? The Nepalese Christian did not. They chose to go for the mission conference rather than go home to their village. Also, after that, they went back. But that broke my heart about how much they put God first. You know, in Singapore, we grapple with this. In Chinese New Year, if it falls on Sunday, should we have one service, two service, and all that? We need to put God first. Okay, I just want to challenge you. But the Word of God will help us to do that. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 14:15. So hopefully these are some of the examples of commitment to Christ that will help us to grow. Okay, Proverbs 14:15. Ready? Proverbs 14 and verse 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The simple man, okay, there are four men. The Bible talks about the simple man, the scorner, the fool, and the wise man. Okay? The wise man is the one who knows the word of God and apply it diligently. Okay? The scorner The scorner is a man who knows the Bible, but actively resists it. But he knows it's right. He knows it's right, but he actively resists. That's a scorner. Okay? And then there is the simple man. Now, I talk about the fool first. The fool is someone who knows the truth, but who doesn't care about the truth. You can scold him, you can tell, you're a fool, you have to trust Christ. No, I don't care. And he won't fight you because he's just going to follow his own way. That's a fool. The simple man, however, is someone who don't know much and don't bother to learn and just follow everything. That's a simple man. The wind goes here, he'll follow. The wind goes there, he'll follow. That's a simple man. The Bible says, therefore, the simple man believeth every word. God doesn't want us to be the simple man. He wants us to be the wise man, to test everything. But the prudent man, the word prudent means a careful man. Someone who knows what is right and is carefully making sure, if this person tells me to do this, if this group of friends tell me to do this, should I follow it? And he's very careful to say, and the rule is this, if it will bring me away from God, I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to follow that. If it's going to bring me away from God. And so there's something, you know, one of the things also I learned, I mean, there's so many lessons that the Lord has taught me. You know, many of them actually closed their businesses just to attend the missions conference. Many of the believers in Christ there, in the Sangati Baptist Church, some of them are tailors, they have their own businesses, you know. They close their business for 4 days just to attend the mission conference. Now for 4 days, they won't earn anything. But why? They love Jesus more than the work of this world. Oh, that was such an example for me as a pastor. I was so kind of challenged by that. But to them, they say, Pastor, I'd rather be here because I can get to hear the word of God. Oh, that was so encouraging. Okay? So, but the church there, or rather in Proverbs 14:15, the Bible says the simple will believe every word. Do you believe every word? The word simple here does not refer to the simple-minded. He refers to someone who is gullible, someone who will just believe everything. Okay, but a prudent man, okay, the simple may read Christian books and hear sermons and attend conferences, takes in everything without even testing it. There are some places as a Christian that we should never go. There are some churches we should never attend. There are some messages, some pastors or preachers we should never listen to. Why? Like Ken Anderson, all this. Okay, they have false doctrine. We cannot listen to that. There are some people who still listen to John Walsh. I'm not saying that everything is bad, but unless you are in the Word, that you can test everything by the Word. It's very subtle, so you need to be very careful. You need to be in the Bible, okay? And there's one more verse. Let's turn to Psalm 119. We'll take one more verse, and then we'll finish. Psalm 119, 128. Okay, let's read this. Let's read together, ready? 1, 2, go. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That was our memory verse. As a believer, we need to know that everything in our life, our friends, our choice of careers, the way we live, our music, everything, must be in line with the Bible. And as a believer, when we, after testing it, and we found that this is not in line with God's word, we must have the courage and the spiritual mind to say, I will not accept that. And I will consider it a false way. I will consider it a false way. Okay, some question, are we willing to be tested by the Bible? Is our life in line with the Bible? The way we spend our money, the way we spend our time, is it in line with the Bible? I'm praying that as a church, God will help us to realign ourselves back to His word. Now, was anything that's not right, we may need to be willing to repent of it and say, Lord, I want to follow you. And realign ourselves back to His word. And we need to humble ourselves and accept God's word as the authority in our lives. Now, I'll give you one Bible reason why. Let's turn to John chapter 12, then we'll finish, okay? John chapter 12, then we'll finish. John chapter 12, verse 48. We read 47 and 48. Okay, let's read this. In the context, Jesus is talking to non-believers, but at the same time, for believers, it's important for us. Let's read 47, 48. Ready? 1, 2, go. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus says, if you don't want to hear my words and get saved and become a Christian and give up your sin, Jesus says, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to save you. But in verse 48, he says, if you reject me and don't welcome my words, there is one that will judge you. The words that are spoken unto you will be your judge in the last day. In other words, Jesus, when he came, he told the believer, the people that listened to him, I'm not here to judge you, I'm here to save you. I'm here to die for you, I'm here to love you, so that you can see the love of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I'm not here to judge you, I'm here to love you so that you can understand my love. But Jesus says, if you reject my words, and you say, I'm not going to trust Christ, I don't care, I just want to live my own life, just say, it's okay. But remember that one day, these words will be your judge. These words will be the words that I've spoken unto you, the same, that means the words, the same refers to the word, shall be your judge in the last day. In other words, whether you're a Christian or not, for us it's very important, but we're not your judge. We would like you to trust Christ. But Jesus says, I'm not here to judge you, but if you will reject my word, the Bible will be the judge. In other words, at the judgment seat of Christ for believers, the Bible will be open. For the non-believers, the Bible will also be open. And Jesus will say, I told you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I told you that God commendeth his love toward us in that while yet sinners Christ died for us. That if any would trust him, you will be saved. Did you do that? And we look in, if you are not saved, you can look in Jesus, no, I rejected that. Well then, these words will judge you. And I'm sorry, I love you, I died for you, I rose again. But because you did not accept Jesus, I will have to send you to a place called a lake of fire. All right? But for believers, can I challenge us to test our lives by the word of God? All right? Any questions before we close? That's all we have. Okay, any questions? I want to challenge us to test our life. If our life is not in line with God's word, let's get it to the word. Okay? In order to get that, we need to study. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that your Holy Spirit, if we are believers, to realign our life back to your word. So that everything that we do, Lord, will be glorifying to you. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.